want a miracle, I'll give you a miracle. Oh, I'll give you a miracle. Yeah. The true miracles. The true miracles. Let me put it this way. Truth is stranger than fiction. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender with my muse, Judy Garland, here in the laundry room, my laundry studio, with my phone cord hanging down here artistically, I think. Get a little bit of the light in the picture here. Laundry baskets, all is in order. I am in order. You are in order. Everything is going as it is supposed to go. Why do I ever distrust God? Why is it that I look back in my past, recent and distant, and I see God does everything well? He eventually works everything out. You know how in life something, you do something stupid and you offend someone and you just can't stop thinking about it. It's like, why did I say that to that person? I misspoke. And you regret and you regret. And then a month later or less, possibly days later, you forget about it. Things are ironed out and you never remember what kind of problem you had. The Hatfields and the McCoys, they fought long after anyone could remember what the hell they were fighting about. And so you forget this stuff. And so what I always forget is that God works things out and that everything ends up, you know, it really makes sense. So it's easily seen in the past. Why is it we have a so hard time believing that God's going to continue this marvelous modus operandi in the future? He's not about to give up this technique of working all together for good for those who love God. It's just that this time he might fail me. You know, yeah, well, this time. But there can never be a this time he's not going to do it. This time he won't deliver. It just seems that way in the heat, in the mystery of the moment. I say mystery of the moment because we have a gift of ignorance in that we don't know what's going to happen in the next minute. You think, that's not a gift, Martin. I'd rather know what's going to happen today. I doubt it. Really? You want to know the day you're destined to die? No. It's a great adventure, this life. That would be taken away if we knew what was going to happen. So look, let's trust God that he's doing all things well today. We can see it clearly in the past, and it's just as sure in the future. Here's a miracle. Talked about the miracle of evolution compared to the miracle of creating Adam. To me, the greater miracle, the greater call on faith would be evolution. That's crazy talk. Many people say that God could create one human, adult human being in an instant. How do you know it was an instant? We don't know. God created Adam out of the soil. He may have very well taken his time. We see a potter on the wheel or a potter working clay on the wheel, and the thing goes around and he shapes it and forms it. This could have been a very extrapolated. No, this could have been a very enjoyable long process for God. Something like you take your time doing, you may drink a glass of wine. You don't want it to end because it's enjoyable for you. When God created Satan, it was different. He formed the serpent and he didn't enjoy it. Just like, oh, there you go. Kind of held him at arm's length. But with Adam, he loves what he's about to do. And he doesn't want it to end. I'm thinking as a human being here because that's all I got. So he forms, I think the scriptural word, he forms Adam from the soil. So this is how I picture it. I picture God like just sitting down. It's like just like stretching out his arms, just relaxing, cracking his knuckles like this. And that's not a knuckle, by the way. That's a trick that I do. I put my finger on my cheek and press it against there. It makes a popping sound. It always amuses children. I can do it on my mouth like this. I can do it on my leg. Wait for it. I can do it anywhere. I'm just not going to do it everywhere. So God luxuriated in this. I used to think he breathed instantly, but he first formed the body of Adam, then he breathed into it. And I suggest to you this morning that he formed Adam over a period of time because it was so enjoyable for him. He sculpted it much as Michelangelo working on that slab of marble to create David. There's a great analogy. Michelangelo and David, God and Adam. And we just found out yesterday that Adam is the progenitor. God is the progenitor of Adam. So he takes his time and he forms this human. He runs his hands. God doesn't have hands. He probably used a surrogate for this, a spiritual being that actually was a hands-on being, acting though completely. See, I don't think God did this with his own hands, because he doesn't have hands. He's not form. He's everywhere. Come on, let's get serious about this. God is not a man, but he operates through other spiritual beings. And so it can very well be said God did this, even though he didn't literally have his hands on it, but he did it through an appointed surrogate. Yes, oh, and a worthy one too. So in a figure, then, I'm just going to say God did it. Okay, you understand? All right, I hope. So God luxuriates the care that he takes with his hands over the corrugations of Adam's abdomen. Adam had great abs. He had a six-pack that you would not believe. His quadriceps, the depths between the greater muscle and the quadriceps, there's four muscles there. God ran his hand to create the groove there that many people admire in the muscular legs of men. And then he worked up to the chest, the great pectoral muscles, and he put that cleavage there. He just ran his finger down, and there's cleavage. This is the first time anyone's seen this, you see. So the celestials are attending. And, of course, he puts the veins in, and he puts together the interior also. Amazing. He forms Adam. The psalm says that he formed us in our mother's womb, knit us together, knit our bones together. So here's the original. This is reproduced every time a baby is conceived in a mother's uterus. It happens every time, except it's just a little different technique. Like the first man was the prototype, and then ever since then, the DNA became a blueprint for reproducing the same thing. That's why all those statues had feet with five toes, because the code was also put into that first man so that God didn't have to directly create every human being. He was still direct in a sense, but you know what I'm saying? He's not forming the first one. Just like the evangel of Paul. Well, Paul is the first guy to receive it directly from heaven. God boomed down from heaven in the voice of Jesus Christ, and Paul got this gospel directly inserted into his brain. That was the last time that this evangel has ever been inserted directly into anyone's brain from God. That's not a shocking statement if you think about it. From that point forward, God used humanity to bring it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing, yeah, and how can they hear unless someone is sent to them? How can anyone be sent unless they're appointed by God? So now, that was the only time the gospel of grace came directly to a human being. Now, God uses the slow, laborious process of bringing it to other human beings through the agency of other human beings. So back to Adam, same deal. God put the code in that first man after he formed him. After he finished his glass of wine, maybe had a smoke, took a break. You know how it is. You have wonderful work that you're doing and you love to do it, but then it's kind of delicious or delicious to take a break, think about it. You just want it to last. You're not in a hurry. So from then on, humanity is reproduced via the code, the DNA that God put in that first man. So he breathes in him and he becomes a living soul. To me, that makes sense. That makes sense. So an evolution is a fairy tale. Okay. Now let's consider the generation of Jesus Christ into the world. Some people scoff at the virgin birth. They say it's crazy that someone could come into the world from scratch without a man to insert that ever-important sperm cell. Really? You think that's crazy? You want to tell me? You want me to tell you whether you want it or not? I'm going to. If you're not ready for this, I think what I'm about to tell you is great. I'm going to give you a health class. I'm going to give you a sexual reproduction health class. If you're squeamish about your kids listening to this, I don't know why you would be, because I'm going to use proper anatomical terms, and I'm going to describe the process as it happens. It's nothing to be embarrassed about, my friends. Happens every day. It's very real. It's very true. God made it. It's beautiful. The process is as beautiful as the human body itself. Nevertheless, I am respectful of those who are squeamish about this topic and who say, ooh, babies. All right. You think the virgin birth is crazy? That God could breathe into a woman and cause a cluster of cells to reproduce in her uterus that will eventually produce a baby that came from God's spirit? You think that's crazy? It sounds wild. I'll give you that. You want to hear something wilder? When a man gets around a woman, he becomes aroused, and his penis, this is crazy how this happens, his penis will go from a flaccid state, as I'm demonstrating on the laundry cam with my finger. I'm demonstrating it with my fingers. Like, and then a woman gets in the vicinity, and this penis goes like this. Nobody understands why that happened. That alone is a miracle. Then the man instinctively knows that he's supposed to put this into the sexual receptacle of the woman. It's instinct. Of course, I know why this is because I know what Adam lost in Eden. I know he lost his female anatomy part, so that's what he goes toward. It's instinctive. And Adam's reproductive organ instinctively knew that's what it wanted. And so it went, whoop, and it was the world's first erection. Adam must have looked down and said, what the heck is this? This has never happened before, because he had that before. But he was missing his uterus and his vagina, and these parts were taken from him. It's true, it wasn't a rib. You've heard me teach on this before. If you haven't, you're shocked right now. Don't be. Stay tuned. I'm not going to go on a sidetrack here, just for today. So this amazing thing happens, and then he knows to put it in there, because this appendage longs for the old neighborhood. Got to get back to the old neighborhood. The old neighborhood is not a rib. A man doesn't long for his missing rib. He wants to go back to the old neighborhood. So the old neighborhood is a woman's receptacle, the vagina. And so that's the portal. That's the entryway to the uterus. The uterus is hiding back there. It's like, I'm not going to present myself like this. I'm going to put a antechamber, what do you call those rooms? A foyer. Yes, the vagina is the foyer of a woman. It's the entranceway. So a man knows to put it in there. Then for some reason, he knows that if he does a back and forward motion, an in and out motion, he becomes very excited. This is a miracle by itself. Who understands this? Who really understands this? Then You're not going to believe what happens next. When a man reaches a pinnacle of excitement, maybe some of you are hearing this for the first time, I hope not, then this fluid comes out of him. And this fluid comes out of him. He doesn't know why. At a certain point, he can't stop it. It zooms through his tubing from his testicles, which are sacs that contain these miracle things called sperm. Millions of little swimming things that have brains of their own, it seems. I don't know if they actually have brains, but they swim through his tubing, through his penis, into the vagina. And but there, that's just the foyer. That's the entranceway, right? And so they're not satisfied there. No, they have a goal. They're going to get past there. They want to get into that uterus because somehow they know there's an egg there. And boy, do they ever want that egg. They want it bad. And they're all competing to get it. Just like, if you've seen pictures of a sperm surrounding the egg, it's just like a high school girl at the parking lot of a high school. Like a beautiful girl in the parking lot after school. And you have dozens of men, of boys, surrounding her, wanting to talk to her. That's exactly how the sperm and egg look. It's the same thing. There's one of them and millions of us. And so we all want to get in there. We all are dying to get into the female. But only one lucky sperm in this scenario survives the trip, and it pushes and pushes until it gets its way. I don't know how this one sperm seduces the egg, but it does. The egg acquiesces, but the egg is so loving and kind that it instantly kills the other sperm. This is the rumor. Or else it emits some kind of repulsive thing that says, the rest of you get away. I've found my man. I found my swimmer. This is the one I'm going to use. And then a crazy thing happens as this thing now becomes a zygote. It's no longer two separate cells. You have the sperm, the egg. Separate cells. There's no life. There's life, but there's no human being there yet. But when these two things join, it's like, can anybody tell me what happens then? Oh, yeah, I know they can say, well, the cell starts reproducing. But yeah, how does the cell start reproducing? Can you tell me how the cell starts reproducing? Farmers don't even know why corn grows. All they know is it's got to get rain, it's got to get soil, it's got to get sun, and then you'll have corn. They don't know how the hell it happens. Nobody knows how this thing happens with a sperm and an egg. It just happens. And biologists think they're so smart in describing to us that it happens. Big whoop, numbnutses, numbnutsi. Can you tell me how it happens? No, you can't. So you telling me that that's not a miracle? You're telling me that it's crazy to believe that there could be a virgin birth? To me, it's so much easier to think that God goes, breathes out, and instantly starts this thing forming in the uterus. That makes so much more sense to me than the scenario, the complicated, amazing, like science fiction scenario I described to you, this whole process of this flaccid thing going and coming in there and going back and forth and squirting this material into the woman that contains millions of swimming things that swim through the tubes, nowhere to go, compete for the egg goes, okay, you and no more, kaboom, you have a baby. 9 months later, that's not a miracle. You have got to be kidding me.